It's been going on for a while now. Every year, Teen Invasion takes place at the Andy Warhol Museum, and it's going to be happening this Friday night. We're going to broadcast from Teen Invasion this year. Our Youth Express service will be there, and we'll provide the equipment and the radio station, but Youth will be anchoring that broadcast, as happens on youthexpress.org 24/7. I've got three people that are on the advisory council for the event, and I'm going to introduce them to you, or actually let them introduce themselves to you, and then ask them to talk a little bit about what's going to be happening at Youth Invasion. And I'll start with you, Emily, and then we can just sort of go from left to right and meet everybody.
All right. I'm Emily Wolf. I'm 18, a senior at the Ellis School here in Pittsburgh. I'm from Squirrel Hill, lived there my whole life, and this is my third year now on the advisory board for Youth Invasion.
I am Kendall Nasadka. I am a senior at Oakland Catholic, and I live in the Hill District, and this is my second year on the Youth Invasion Advisory Board.
And I'm Matt. I am a senior at Pittsburgh Kappa, 6 through 12, and this is my fourth year on the Youth Invasion Advisory Board. Youth Invasion this year is definitely changing, or rebranded, if you will. Actually, the name is Youth Invasion Rebranded, so we're changing a couple different things, having a more band-focused evening. We're having a lot of great performers, and it's going to be really interesting. Youth Invasion will be very good this year.
Youth Invasion this year is more oriented on the youth actually accepting, well, not necessarily accepting, but expressing who they are, showing their identity, how they identify as whatever they might feel makes them who they are.
Basically, what we're trying to do is have a bunch of activities about sort of making your own brand. One of the main images that you'll probably see a lot in relation to Youth Invasion this year is basically just a dotted box that says insert logo here. So it's sort of like you can make your own logo, and we're just sort of encouraging people to figure out how to represent who they are.
Have you all been involved with Youth Invasion for multiple years now?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I've been in Youth Invasion for 4 years. I've done it since freshman year of high school, and it's been really great.
And how about you two?
I started my sophomore year, so this is my third year, yeah, now, and I've really enjoyed it.
I started last year just because I worked with the Warhol on another youth project, and I was really interested in carrying out with them on another venture.
So the idea to change it up, what led you to that?
In recent years, actually, it kept growing and growing, and it actually just physically got too big. It was really just too chaotic, not really manageable, kind of a fire hazard sometimes by accident. So we've decided to sort of try to not have it and as such a big event, but more of a come hang out sort of place, I think.
Yeah, you used to have a lot of different activities, and if my memory serves right, sort of a lot of single things you could do, and now the bands are going to provide like a space just to hang out and talk and do stuff, it sounds like. How about the rebranding and insert logo here? That's a really cool idea. How did that emerge?
A lot of talking. We spent our first meeting basically trying to work out a theme with what had happened to Youth Invasion and sort of something that we thought teens would be interested in coming out and interacting with. And just as we got to talking, we were basically discussing brands and representing yourself. And so we decided to do Youth Invasion rebranding, and all of our activities are in some way connected to that theme.
How do you all feel about branding? Do you think about it much in the way products are trying to put a brand on not only themselves, but on you. I always think, you know, branding is like, remember the people working on the ranch, you know, would brand an animal and claim it's theirs. And I think a lot of products are trying to claim you as a consumer, or at least identify themselves to you so you always know them. You're using that imagery in a much more positive way, I think, to declare yourself, at least at a particular point in time, as conforming to a particular characteristic that you choose. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I think it's very Warhol what we're doing. I feel like Warhol did a lot of that with using brands that were very recognizable, like Brillo boxes and Campbell's soup and things like that, like things that really you saw and you're like, oh, I know what that is. I see that in my everyday life. And I think using that and connecting it all the way back to what you said, like brands are claiming people. Like, I think about somebody walking around with a shirt with a brand on it. It's free advertising. And we're taking that, we're reclaiming it as a, this is our thing, we're doing that.
I like that a lot. It's funny. One of the few things, I don't talk about it too much, but I don't think you'll ever see me wearing a shirt with a logo on it. Occasionally, if it's a commemorative of a race or something, I will, but I just don't like to do that. And I see none of you fall into that category either right now. So have you, will folks be actually developing a brand that night, or do you think some folks will be arriving? Maybe I'm taking it too seriously, but if I were going, I would try to come up with a brand for myself. I'm not sure what it would be.
We do have a few activities where kids can actually sort of make their own brand, as in a logo. We have a sort of name tag maker. We have plenty of activities where kids can just make things, and they can, going with theme, make their own brand, just whatever sort of logo they think is representative of some aspect of them that they want to present to the world.
Have you done that yet, any of you?
Well, I mean, personally, I make a lot of stuff myself. I make clothing, I make buttons, I make accessories, things like that. And I think definitely establishing an aesthetic in what you do, and I think that makes a lot of sense through a person, like what you present and what you wear and what your hair is like and what your face is like. Everything like that is something that you put out to the world, in the same way that if you wear a brand, you're putting out what that brand represents. And I think coming to an event and making your own brand is definitely like kind of like a self-empowerment move in a way, more like a self-identifier in a way.
Yeah, that's a really strong statement. And how about you, Kendall? Have you like thought about what your brand would be?
Not necessarily. I just, to be quite honest, I've never felt the need to force people to like recognize my identity, because I know who I am, kind of. So I've never thought of like making my own brand in a sense. I just kind of like say, this is what I am. I present myself in, like Matt said, the manner, like how I present myself. And it's kind of like they just have to accept that in a way.
Do you think that sometimes people adopt a brand that is not authentic? And it's basically they wear a brand like a mask or a costume that they put on that isn't really true of who they are.
Yeah, that happens a lot of times. And I think most people, pretty much everyone, goes through some part of their life where they do that. And it helps them cope. It makes them a little more comfortable. There's nothing really inherently wrong with it, I think. But it is really liberating to be able to just sort of show your own brand, and I think we're sort of trying to have kids revel in the idea of making their own brand when they come to Youth Invasion this year.
That's a great way of describing it, as liberating, because especially when you're younger. Well, I can remember starting my first job. I was about 21, my first real job, and having questions and not wanting to ask questions in a meeting because I assumed that I was supposed to know all the answers. So in some ways, the brand I was wearing was knowledgeable, right? I knew all these things. And then after a while, I realized it was ridiculous. I'm 21 working with a bunch of people in their 40s. I'm not supposed to know the answers to all these things. And it was really, liberating is the perfect word. It's like, I can ask this stuff. It doesn't matter. And probably when you're younger, I never thought of it before, but you're probably more likely to adopt an inauthentic brand. Certainly you are too if you're different than everybody's different, but I mean if you feel you're more different than others, you might adopt the conforming type of brand, do you think?
Oh yeah, in the beginning of our Youth Invasion meetings, we threw around the term come as you are as kind of a way to come as you are to Youth Invasion and make your own brand. And I wouldn't say that people per se kind of adopt a new persona, but I feel like it's like trying on a shirt. You don't know what shirt's going to fit you. You don't know what color's going to look good on you, da-da-da-da. So you try all the ones you can until you find one that fits you. And I wouldn't say, like, you're conforming or anyway. You're just trying to find yourself by trying out different things that you see and make it more positive.
Yeah, that's – I was smiling because I was thinking every now and then I'll see somebody wearing clothes. You've got a great shirt on. I don't know if you made that shirt, Matt's wearing this reddish, very vibrant fabric shirt. I'm not going to pull that off. You know, that's not my brand. That's not going to work for me. I can't tell you why. You know, you could have two people that look exactly alike, yet certain clothes will fit the personality or the person more than others. And Warhol was really a master of understanding those types of things. So I love the theme. So let's talk about the specifics. How do people show up? Who's allowed? What's the admission? All those kinds of details so we can get some more folks to show up this coming Friday night.
Well, Youth Invasion is on May 13th. It is at the Andy Warhol Museum. And it's open to pretty much teens, but we welcome anyone. It's from 4 to 9, and we're going to have bands performing the whole time. 5 to 9, sorry.
Excellent. We're putting all the burden on poor Matt here. 5 to 9, and this is the kind of event if you're typically people as young as 13 will come all the way up to a little older, but typically, is there like a maximum age? I mean,
we're not going to close the doors to anyone just because they don't fit within a certain age category. We just, all of our activities, sort of what we're trying to do that night, are targeted and made for a specific age group, but you're certainly welcome even if you fall outside of that.
Yeah, and it's alcohol free.
Yes,
and if you're
definitely.
If you're a parent, if you're comfortable as such, it's certainly the kind of event you could drop your kids off at and come back and pick them up. In fact, they would probably prefer that.
But, this is true.
You're in a safe space with adults there to allow everybody to have a good time and explore. You don't need to make a reservation or anything. You can just come. The Andy Warhol Museum is on the north side, just a hop, skip, and a jump. From PNC Park and from the Children's Museum. Easy to get to this Friday from 5 until 9. As I mentioned, we'll be there with Youth Express broadcasting bands and talking with folks in attendance. John is going to be there from our team, John Bindley, between 5 and 9. Now I've got you here. Let's see, it's May. So I'm assuming you girls and guy, know what you may be doing come fall. You're probably tired of getting these questions, but I'm curious. Emily, what's going to happen to you?
I'm actually going to be going to Pitt, and I'll be studying, hopefully, environmental studies and film.
Excellent. That's wonderful. You're such a good writer.
Thank you.
You know, I'm familiar, you know, with your poetry from work we've done at the Ellis School, and that'll actually come into play in everything you do. So
yeah.
What made you think about environmental studies?
Just I really love stories, actually. They're really what make me want to continue on and keep living, and it just brings me such joy. But if we don't have a world, we don't really have the ability to have stories. So I want to help preserve what we have so we can keep making stories and keep making better stories.
Excellent. Kendall, how about you?
I will be studying at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. I'll be majoring in political science. My hopes are to become an attorney and eventually go into congressional legislation.
And how did you come by that career goal? What inspired you to do that?
I actually really loved history growing up, and American history in regards to government was always an interesting process. And just the way that governments developed, the philosophy of government, the idea of protecting the common good and combating vice was always a really intriguing idea to me. So I just thought, well, that's what an attorney does. They get to do all of this. They get to engage in all of this. And they are the ones who help improve, like, the laws and enforce justice. So
wonderful. And let's turn to Matt.
Well, in the fall, I will be going to the cold, cold peaks of Pennsylvania and studying at Edinburgh University in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'll be majoring in sculpture. So
it's a great school for that. And that one went to Edinburgh. I happen to be married to that one. And we have two other staff people here at SLB that went to Edinburgh.
Cool.
For what it's worth. It's almost accidental. But it's a great school. Ricky might have some snowshoes she can sell you. It is cold. Are you thinking of art education possibly?
I've gone to an art school for 7 years, so it'd be really interesting to go back and maybe teach something. But my real focus that I want to do is hone in my, like, sculpture skills and different skills. Because when I say sculpture, it's very open-ended. You can do a lot of different things. But my final goal is to design, like, installations for theater productions so they can be acted around and played around and kind of experienced, and even like stuff for a museum that could be walked around, experienced, played with, touched.
You must love the Warhol and the Mattress Factory as well. Is there anything else? We're just about at the end of our time. I want to thank Kristen DiLeonardo, an artist educator at the Andy Warhol Museum, who's here in silent, and also Sarika Fagg, a youth programs coordinator, because they haven't had to say anything. They've accompanied you. Do you need to say anything, or do you think, thank you for helping to coordinate this with us. Anything else you three wanted to mention that I failed to ask you, including shout-outs or commands or anything you want to let folks know about?
Just come to Youth Invasion. It'll be fun.
Anything else? Thank you. I appreciate you're all representing
it.
That's a pleasure, and I know it'll go well. How many years has it been now for Youth Invasion? Has it been? It's 5+. You think?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. At least five.
It's been like
13.
Years, I think.
Okay, so it's been a while because. We've only really been helping to call attention to it for the last 6 years or so. Well, congratulations, and enjoy it. We've linked to it on our website at slvradio.org. Go forth and invade this coming Friday night, 5 to 9.
Thank you.